day at a time.
Amen. Good solid.
Because it seems like I just keep on, but, you know, I don't think so. I just, I miss my son, I miss my husband, I love him, but I'm homesick.
That's right.
But I love life.
Amen, sister. Two. Two. Two.
Yeah.
you know, it's amazing. Seems like we love life more than we do our home that we're going to. I mean, we just fight to stay here, fight to stay here. Of course, we all have a reason for it. We have kids and grandkids that we know need to be saved. And you know, it's rough, I'm telling you. I was listening to what Brenda was talking about the other day on the phone. And, you know, sometimes it just overwhelms us, is what it does.
It does.
And we just got to turn it over to God. Put it in God's hands and leave it there. That's what I told Sarah this afternoon. You know, she said, seems like it's just one thing after another. And I said, Sarah, honey, just put it in God's hands and walk away from it. That's what you have to do sometimes. And
said, we'll know him, we're known. One of my favorite parts of that song. Somebody said, you think we'll know one another when we get to heaven? According to the Bible, we'll know even as we're known. And I may not be known as Brother Eddie, but they'll know me when I get there. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to get there by the grace of God.
That's right.
Let me make a couple announcements here real quick. One of them is this is our first Sunday night service, and I really looked forward to this opportunity, and I wasn't expecting even this many people to be here. It's pretty good for the first Sunday night service, and I thank all of you for coming. And I want to say this, Brother Ed was talking about Sister Sarah having some sickness in her house. Y'all may not know this, so I'm going to put it on the tape. Maybe other people hear about this too. But if you got sickness in your home, take an onion, cut it in half, lay it on the kitchen table, lay it on the counter, just leave it. It'll kill every germ in the house. Beats all I've ever seen. Don't eat the onion. But it'll kill every germ.
Any special kind of onion?
No, just any onion. Yeah, when they had the Black Plague over in Europe, the only people that lived was people that had onions on the table, and they finally figured it out. Yeah, the onion killed the germs, yeah. If you have a high fever, an old black lady told me this. She said our kids had high fever, and they put an onion on the bottom of their feet. She said it cooked the onion, but it took the fever out immediately. Ain't that something? Something simple as an onion? Ain't that something? I had something else I was going to say. Oh yeah, I brought in a report back there of this little church. And for a little church, we really get out there.
Yeah.
And I brought in the reports for January and for February, all the different countries that have listened in on our services, all the different states in the United States. It's amazing how many people have listened, downloaded, and visited our website. I praise God for that. You know, that's a great accomplishment for any church.
Yeah.
But for a little church like this, I tell you, praise the Lord. I got greatly encouraged just printing those out and looking over them. And even the message this morning, I forgot to hit record on the Sunday school lesson, so we missed it. And it was a good Sunday school lesson. Well, we got through three verses. But the message this morning on Hell's Wake Up Call, done been downloaded 40 times, and I didn't even get it on the website till 3:30. Had to stop by and pick up the granddaughter's medicine at Walmart, and then got home. My wife was frying bologna, Kentucky ribeye. What do you think I did? Hey, I got me a big gut buster Coca-Cola and sit down there, and the dogs wet nose at one on one side and one on the other side. Won't know if I was going to be willing to share any of that with them, but I sure did. I wolfed down probably half a pound of bologna, and for some of you don't know, that's Kentucky ribeye. And praise the Lord. Be opening up your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. This message is, you know, coming over here, I really got ministered to all the way over here. I had two thoughts on my mind, and I'm almost convinced this is the direction I need to go in, and I hope I'm right. Other would have fit just fine. And I was going to preach tonight about the man at the pool of Bethesda, been there for 38 years, wanting somebody to help him. He said, I have no man to help me. And Lord, it seemed like he kind of steered me in this direction right here. So Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read one verse. Verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. And the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I'm preaching on tonight on moving with fear. Pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us to enjoy. We thank you, Father, for the great crowd we had this morning.
Yes.
Lord, just overwhelmed me to see that many people here for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for the great crowd that's here tonight.
Yes.
Lord, our first Sunday night service, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, to see this many show up for the Word of God.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, tonight you'd bless like you did this morning. I pray, Lord God, you'd feed us. I pray you'd bless us. Pray you'd encourage us. Pray you'd help us, Lord. Lord, we don't want to meet for naught. And I pray not to get in the way. I pray you'll help me not to do that. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me, Lord, to stay within the lines of, Lord, what you'd have me to preach tonight. If I get out chasing rabbits, Lord, just bring me back to the subject. And we'll thank and praise you for whatever you do. In Jesus' name, ask your blessings on it. Amen.
Amen.
Moving with fear. I don't know if you noticed in that verse right there, it said, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And you know, fear moves a lot of people. We got a lot of things going on right now. A lot of people are pretty moved right now.
Yes.
We got this coronavirus.
Right.
I took my granddaughter's friend home the other day. She lives up Park City. Her name's Cameron. And I said, Cameron, I said, what do you think about that coronavirus? She said, I'm scared to death, Brother Eddie. She said she had friends in other countries. She said, I blog with them and communicate with them. She said, we're kind of friends. And she said, it's not being told over here. They're kind of keeping it under cloak. She said, they're laying in the streets up there, she said, day and everywhere. She said, nobody's even allowed out of their house. And I don't know. I know it's going to be bad. I don't have a good feeling about it. I don't know. But before I get too far in this message, I just remembered what the other thing was. So let me pause right there just a second. The other message went along with what Sister Brenda said about mourning over your loved ones. Mm-hmm. Me and Brother Donnie, he took me up there to the Huddle House up there in Scottsville Saturday, bought me a big old slice of country ham, 3 eggs over easy, some hash browns and toast. I have to admit, I was a pretty fine hair right there. Eating that, I'll tell you right now, I enjoyed that meal. But he made a statement there while we were there. He said, ain't that bad what happened to Brother Nathan's soul? He said, I just don't understand that. I said, well, Brother Donnie, there's only one way to understand that. You got scripture to help you understand it.
Right.
Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 1. The righteous perish. Merciful men are taken away, and none considereth that are taken away from the evil that's to come.
Yeah.
Now, if God knew you was going to suffer, and suffer so that you'd wish to die, like Jonah, like Elijah.
Yeah.
God said, just bring them home.
Right.
And a lot about death, I don't understand. I've done a lot of funerals. I don't understand. I just know it's coming all of us.
Yeah,
one
right.
event comes every one. But take that one verse right there, maybe to help you a little bit, to understand. God knows when to plant. God knows when to pluck.
Yeah.
And all of that's in His hands. He does what's right. Abraham asked God, I think it's in Genesis 19, shall not the judge of all the earth be right? He will. He'll do right in every case. But he saw fit to take Nathan home, even though I don't understand it. Even though his wife Stacy don't understand it. And his daughter Leah that just got married to Elias don't understand it. God does what needs to be done.
Amen.
And it's
that's
His
right.
doing. So
yeah.
we just got to like Noah by faith. We just got to accept what God does. But this fear, this coronavirus, I was talking to Cammie and she said, you know, they're not telling us over here everything there is about this. And you know, the news is kind of, I don't know, you got to take the news with a grain of salt anyway, but they're not telling it all. They're trying to, actually trying to misrepresent it. But if they told the truth, you can already see the effect it's had on the stock market.
Yeah.
But the effect it's had even upon our country, there are people that are wearing masks, they can't make them fast enough, they're flying off the shelves. The boxes that the face masks come in went from $7 a box to $300 a box.
Wow.
And they're just gouging people. You can't find the hand sanitizer. You can't find the face mask. I mean, you can tell fear has an effect upon people.
That's right.
And I do believe that this coronavirus is going to be a very fearful thing when it's run its course upon our country. Why do you think that, Brother Ed? I tell you what you do. You go murder God's babies.
That's right.
You sell the parts.
That's right.
And then you start promoting the gay lifestyle.
Come on.
And you start diminishing from the Word of God.
Right.
I come real close to preaching another message tonight, and this may have some of it in it. I'll just tell you right now, God's not mocked.
Mm-mm.
And the same God that brought the judgment that He warned Noah about, Noah had enough sense, Brother Mitchell, to move.
That's right.
Can you imagine if Noah didn't move like most Baptists?
Right.
He just kind of, you know, went to sleep
and
really didn't give much thought to what God told him. We'll get on that here in a minute. Right now, I'm just kind of kind of enjoying the day out there, really.
But anyway,
God warned Noah, warned him of things that had not yet been. It never rained before, and God said, I'm going to send a flood. He said, repent of me that I've made man.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, in Genesis 6, it brings the description of the day that Noah lived in. And it said that man's heart was wicked. Yeah. And his thoughts was only evil continually. And it repented God that he made man. And it grieved him at his heart. And I can only imagine how God feels today about what's going on in America. Somebody said, all that feels good, do it. Somebody said, I don't believe there is a God. I just read it in the parking lot. When I pulled in the parking lot, Brenda seen me read my Bible. I want to read this verse real quick. Psalms chapter 50. God said, you thought I was one like you. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm not like you.
Right.
He said, I'm keeping right. silent right now.
Yep.
But buddy, when he gets up.
Amen.
Oh my, when God gets up. Right. I mean, buddy, when he gets up, they're going to look like rats running for a hiding place. Right now, he's keeping silent. Right now, buddy, he's letting his anger muse. And I want you to know, buddy, when he does rise up, this world is going to understand. There may not be no fear of God before their eyes right now. They may not want to talk about the fear of God right now. They may not want to talk about judgment right now. But I want you to know, when he rises up to judge this earth, I want you to know the Bible said in Luke chapter 21, I think it's verse 22, it said men's hearts would fail for fear.
Yeah.
If we're looking at all these things coming,
Amen.
It's going to be a fearful thing when God does finally rise up. Amen. And Noah, not only did he move with fear, but I want to say this, fear moved me. I remember today, buddy, that fear got a hold of me. I got fearful about I'm being lost. I got fearful about where I was going to spend eternity. I got fearful about the fact that I wasn't saved, and fear moved me, and I didn't quit moving till I got saved. But I want you to notice, not only was Noah warned. Did you see that in verse 7? It said, by faith, Noah, being warned.
Yeah.
You know, we've been warned.
That's right.
Not only did Jesus say it, in an hour if you think not, he's coming, Matthew 24:44. But he said, watch therefore. There may not be nobody watching. That ain't going to make no difference. He's still coming. Right. Amen.
Still coming.
He said, work therefore. Because the night's going to come. No man can work. Matthew 24:46. I mean, buddy, not only is he coming, but he warned this world that he's coming. Does everybody remember when those twin tires fell? September the 11th.
Right.
For just a little while,
yeah,
America had eternal. They thought eternal thoughts. They said, Sister Joanne, they said there was cars jammed, traffic jammed, people trying to get to church. They thought it was the end of the world.
Right.
Man, that was just a little bitty.
Yeah.
What are you going to call it? Just a little glimpse of what's coming. I mean, those twin tires, boy, they set up there. I guess really they kind of represent the pride of America. And they come down. That's impossible. I'll tell you why it's impossible. Satan asked God to take the hedge down around Job. He said, I can't get done. Take away that hedge. Let me have it. God told Israel, he said, I'll take away your hedge. I want you to know they couldn't have brought them two twin tires down if God hadn't removed the hedge of protection they had upon this great country.
Right.
And I want you to know, in mercy, all he did was bring the twin tires down. But I'm looking at the writing on the wall. I'm looking at this country that's being judged for being as wicked as all the people in Genesis 6 that God said, I've had enough. I'm coming down. I'm going to destroy everything that has breath.
Yeah.
Right.
Noah was warned. Praise God. He moved.
Mm-hmm.
He was warned of something coming. And I want to turn over to Genesis chapter 6. It'd be probably easier just to turn over there than me sit here and quote these verses. But I want you to look at it here in Genesis chapter number 6. It's a sad chapter, it really is. And you can start down there at verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thought of his heart was only evil continually, and he repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. The great Creator.
Right.
Said, I've had it up to here.
Right.
See, he gave laws. He still gives laws.
That's right.
One thing about God's laws, you can either obey them, live, or you can disobey them and die.
Right.
I mean, you can look all through there. There are people that met terrible fate because they didn't thank God would do anything. And you know, they were just disintegrated. One of them, Dothan, and I can't think of the name, but they rose up against Moses. And Moses, stand back. Everybody backed up, the earth opened up, swallowed them up, fire came out, not only killed Dathan and whoever, I don't remember their names, or rough names, may remember anyway, but when that earth opened up, oh brother, the fear of God came through loud and clear, then people ran, and the fire come up out of that hole and devoured a lot of them. There's people rose up and rebelled against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. God come down and killed something like 250 of them. And I tell you what, buddy, when God comes down, people fear. Amen.
That's right.
God said he repented and that he made man. I like verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's still grace to be found. Anybody that wants it can find it. And God come on down there. And verse 11 said, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. You know what we got going on today? Violence.
Yes, Lord.
That's right. Did anybody see that little 15-year-old girl? Gang jumped her, beat her up, kicked her in the head, put her in the hospital, took her tennis shoes, took her cell phone, robbed her right there in broad daylight. Violence. 15-year-old girl. What's wrong with this, Jerry? 15-year-old girl. Thugs.
Yeah.
Something wrong.
Something's right.
Yes, it is.
She just brought broad daylight. Whole gang. Just beat her, knocked her to the ground, kicked her in the head. Put her in the hospital. Two of them been arrested. They probably won't do nothing. But I'll tell you what, buddy, somebody better do something.
That's right. Amen.
God here, he said the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Here's why. For all flesh had what? Corrupted his way upon the earth. Y'all kind of hit on that a little bit this morning.
Yeah.
God's way is right.
That's right.
Man says, I don't think it's got to be that way. He might be entitled to his opinion, but I'll tell you what, the consequences ain't going to change.
That's right.
Adam and Eve broke that one law. And of course, they had some consequences when they broke that law. Their eyes was open and knew it was naked. They done like everybody else did. They tried to hide their nakedness. And then when God showed up, they tried to hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. And ain't no hiding place from the Lord.
No.
And God said, Adam, what? Down in my will say, I'm in sin.
Yeah.
But he said, I hid myself. God said, why did you hide yourself? He said, because I was naked. God said, who told you was naked? Have you eaten that tree I told you not to eat of? And Adam said, that woman you made gave it to me, and I did eat. And God said, what hast thou done? That woman said, that serpent beguiled of me, and I did eat. No matter. They're all guilty.
That's right.
They all were judged.
That's right.
It says here, God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Here's why it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, one who them is. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shall thou make in it, in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. I want you to know Noah was warned of something coming. Verse 13, God told him, he said, I've had enough of this. He said, I'm going to destroy them with the earth. Noah was warned. And Noah was warned of something coming. He moved at that warning, verse 14. And I want you to know, he started building an ark. And you know, Jesus, he worked. John 9:4. And he said, there's 12 hours in a day which men shall work, for the night cometh no man can work. And listen, we need to be working. Romans 13:11. Jesus said, work today in the vineyard. In Matthew 21:28. But I tell you, buddy, Noah done something with the fear that he had. He not only was warned, but he was warned of something coming. And he moved at that warning and started building an ark. Just between me and you, I think he built too big an ark. I think there was room to put probably anybody that wanted on there. You know, we got these big cruise ships now, Sister Joanne. I think they're kind of built on the design of that ark. I don't know how many people that get on there, but it's a bunch. I know there's a bunch that might get off of one of them right now. They're quarantined on there. But I believe that ark was built enough. I believe that ark was built big enough that if anybody that Noah's day wanted to get on it, I believe there's room for him, Brother Ed. I can't prove that.
Right.
But I believe Noah built way bigger boat than was actually needed. There only 8 people that have no sense to get on board. Ain't that something? But anyway, he moved with fear. And the fear was so great, he built the ark. He built it exactly the size that God told him to build it.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, God gave him every bit of instruction. You can read on in what I just read right here. If you read a little further, God told him exactly what to do, the fashion of the ark, the length of the ark, the breadth of the ark, the height of the ark, put a window in that ark. And told him how big to make that window and put it above, and a door in the ark that shall set it in the side thereof. And it had 3 stories. I joked this morning about that 2 story. Well, the ark had 3 stories. Amen.
Yeah.
And he said, and behold, I mean, verse 17, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. You know what? That generation in Noah's day, I want to say at the very first, see, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, according to Peter. Then he preached for 120 years as he preached, he worked, building his ark. I want to say when Noah first started preaching, there was quite a few people come to hear him. I want to say after a while, their ears got dull of hearing, and they said, Noah, we've heard this. We've heard this before. You just got one message. You keep preaching the same message. You keep saying God's going to send a flood.
Yeah.
And ain't been no flood. And kind of like what Peter said in Peter chapter 3. They mocked and they stormed and said, where's the promise, Noah, of that flood?
Right.
And as they're making jokes about Noah and making fun of Noah, Noah just keeps on working. Noah just keeps on building his heart.
Yeah.
And when he got it done, God said, now Noah, go in the ark. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Right.
I try to be pretty, what do you want to call it? I don't want to preach the same thing, not only that thing, but if I had to, I would. I try to preach the Bible, try to preach Bible message. I'm a pastor. I want to feed sheep. I want to feed lambs.
Right.
I want to tend to the old, tend to the young.
Right.
I want to get it down there where people can understand, somewhat of what the Bible says. But I'll tell you right now, Noah never changed his message.
No.
He stayed with the same message. He said, boys, I'm building this ark. If you got any sense at all, you'll get in this ark. They didn't have none. They went like this, Brother Mitchell. They said, he's crazy.
Yeah, right.
They say I'm crazy. They say Brother Ed's crazy. They say Sister Joanne's crazy.
Yeah.
Look, we may be crazy.
That's right.
I'll tell you one thing, have no sense to get saved, amen.
Hey,
Noah's out there building this ark. And they said, let's go make fun of Noah. It was make fun of Noah Day.
Yeah.
Brother Ed, wouldn't it be something they come in there and sit on them beams in that ark? Tell us again, Noah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine sitting in the beams of that ark making fun of a preacher? As he's preaching, as he's building that ark, and hear, and then still miss out.
Right.
That's kind of what God done.
Yeah.
See, he set this thing up. He said there wasn't going to be nobody, but Noah found grace. And because Noah found grace, his family found grace.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, 8 souls were saved. Well, let's get on down here a little further. God said, verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is breath of life from under heaven, and every everything that's in the earth shall die. Now the world says, oh, that's propaganda. They do today. I tell you, I correspond with some of them on the internet. Somebody said, there ain't no proof God exists. I said, you fool, look up. Who harmed the sun? I said, look up at nighttime. Who harmed the moon? Who put the stars up there? He said, some kind of explosion, some kind of extraterrestrial explosion, magnetic something, put them all there. I said, you got any idea what the odds of that being true is? I said, I'm not even sure numbers go that high. But they don't believe anything except what thus said the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in Noah's day. He's telling them what's coming. And they're saying, Noah, that's stupid. It ain't going to happen. They were in disagreement with the preaching. They were in denial with the will of God.
Right.
But God went on to say in verse 18 about Noah, He said, but with thee will I establish my covenant. I want you to know Noah found grace. I'm glad God's a covenant God. And God kept His promise. And He said, thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, He'll... People, they get on this Calvinist thing about predestination. Mm-hmm. I'll agree about this. These animals were predestined to go in that ark. Wasn't no problem about the lions eating the lambs. Wasn't no problem about the rhinoceros attacking, Noah or anybody. I want you to know they went in there in complete obedience, Brenda.
That's right.
They were predestined.
Amen. That's right.
To escape this judgment, they were predestined to survive this judgment by going in this ark. They went in by twos. She's talking about needing a gander. I can just see them right now, goose and a gander going in there. Amen.
Amen.
And you know why they went in there? To preserve life.
Right.
Yeah. God didn't have to create it all over again. He done made it, said it was good. So He made a plan here, and He made this plan. Noah built an ark. Noah moved with fear to the building of this ark, to the saving of his house, but also to the saving of two of every kind, except for the clean beast, and seven of that kind went in there. Remember, Noah gave an offering to God, and this Rainbow Coalition thinks they got a part in that. But anyway, let's go a little further here. God said, verse 19, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou build, bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be what?
Male and female.
Amen.
Amen.
This world's gone crazy. Man, I go out to Walmart today to get my granddaughter's medicine. I'm so glad to see up over the door, male and female.
Male.
Right.
They've gone crazy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, all flesh has done what? Corrupted
His
way upon the earth. They've gone crazy.
That's right. Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of looking forward to the Lord coming down and straightening this mess out. And we was talking about, how they, through politics and power, some people should never been given power, but given power. Man, they use it for all the wrong reasons, shove stuff down our throat. Let's go on a little further here. I'll try to wrap this up. I wasn't going to preach long tonight. It's good, though, I'll tell you that. But anyway, male and female, verse 20, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come into thee to keep them alive, and thou shalt take unto thee of all food that's eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee. It shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus, notice this. Thus did Noah. Noah was warned. Noah was warned of something coming. He moved at that warning. He done what God told him to do. And I tell you what, buddy, Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Yeah. We're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Right.
Now I'm going to jump a lot of pages right here, even though I'd like to go precept on precept, but I'm going to jump over here to verse number 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Somebody said, what was Noah's wife's name? Her name was Noah's wife. Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. If you ever get anybody smart at it that claims to know something of the Bible, just say, what was Noah's wife's name? They'll leave you alone for a long time. The reason I know that, I fell for that myself. I said, I'll get back with you. Hey, it works good. So anyway, after you do all like I did, run all everything, you'll find out her name was Miss Noah. That was her name, amen. But anyway, they went in. And it said, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. In the self-same day that Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, they and every beast after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing. Let me jump on up here. Verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I want you to notice who shut the door.
That's right.
Now we're going to leave out one of these days. There's a lot of people being complacent. They've said it now, preaching, and done their fingernails, done their checkbook, and you know, texting church and all that stuff. Listen, when this thing hits, in the self same day that it hits, we're leaving out.
Right.
And you know, they're kind of hanging around because they want to leave out too, but they haven't acted. They haven't made themselves ready. They're like the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, 5 had oil, 5 didn't, 5 the Holy Spirit, 5 saved, 5 soul saved. You know, they say they are, but they ain't. Hey, look here, 5 left, 5 left behind, 5 left behind, knocked on the door, opened to us. And Jesus said, I know you not.
Yes.
Oh, oh boy, sad circumstances. I'm telling you, that's why the Lord said be ready. But we go on here real quick here. It said, and God shut them in. Hey, look here. I want to get down to verse 21. And all flesh died. Mm-hmm. You know, the fossil record backs this up. All flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was in the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Do you know they found fossilized fish up on top of Mount Everest? You've seen the Grand Canyon, ain't you, Joanne? That's God's drainage ditch.
Right.
Took his fingers and the waters drained off the face of the earth. Dry land appeared. I'll just tell you, buddy, when God warns people, they need to move. Noah moved with fear. Fear will cause people to move. I want you to know, buddy, not only is the Lord coming, but the devil's rowing. And death is knocking. I like that commercial. That woman answers the door and there's death. And she said, I ain't ready. One of these days death is coming, ready or not. I remember one time I was convinced I was dying. I don't know that I was. Don't know that I wasn't. But I you know, I talked about that 2 stories this morning. Brenda wasn't here, so I'll throw it out there again. Man preaching on the radio, older man, him and his wife, been married several years. And he said, we live in a 2-story house. He said, she's got her story, and I've got mine. He said, I just got to get used to her being right and me being wrong every time. And he said, we drive down the road, and I make the turn. She said, why are you turning here? He said, because I'm doing the driving. He went a little further. She said, you want some ice cream? And he said, no, I went a little further. She started crying and said, what's wrong with you now? She said, I wanted some ice cream. He said, you should have said so, amen. Anyway, 2-story. I was convinced I was dying. My wife wasn't, but I was. And I'll say this about death. You can take this to heart. I did recognize and remember this. There's not a thing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like being on a roller coaster ride and walking off. There ain't no way to get off.
That's right.
I mean, you're riding this thing and it's flying. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I wasn't expecting to die today, but there ain't no way off of a roller coaster ride, so you just got to ride it out.
Right.
And I'm with a buddy thinking about death like I never thought about death before. I was thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm ready to go. Amen. Ain't that good?
Yeah.
You know what? I got thinking positive about death. I thought, well, I ain't going to have to worry anymore. I ain't going to have to work no more. And I got to thinking about, praise God, I'm going to get to see my family on the other side. Man, I was getting blessed. This thing about dying, amen, it wasn't a fearful thing at all. Hey, and you know what? That Psalm 23 falls right in line with that. It said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He lead me to green pasture, make me lie down, lead me beside the still water, restore my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, our greatest enemies death. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. I got to think it positively about dying. Can you imagine that? Let me say this. When death does come, and it will.
That's right.
You'll find out.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not always cracked up to be.
That's right.
Now, if I'd been a lost man,
yeah,
I'd have said, somebody do something.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, these big tough guys, they melt like butter and squall out.
Right. Yeah.
Go get them, preacher. Somebody pray. Call somebody. I need help. I'll tell you, them big old tough guys melt like butter. And I have to say this, there was a great calm in my heart. There was a great peace in my heart. And it's good to know you're ready to go, if you know what I mean.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, it's good. Amen. Not only did Noah move with fear, but he did what God told him to do. And his family was saved. And Noah was saved. 8 souls, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And in that preacher of righteousness, he worked while he preached. He worked and preached. Amen.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, buddy, there ain't nothing wrong with working and preaching. But I am looking forward to retiring this year. And if I can somehow retire this year, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, whatever your will is, I'll accept it. But I sure would like to retire this year. And if I can, I want to turn this neighborhood upside down.
Yeah.
I want people to be afraid to answer the door. It's a crazy preacher. He won't stop coming. And if not, I want to try to get him in, get him saved.
Amen.
I hope one day we can add on to this church.
Amen.
I hope we got an auditorium right outside this door right here. A great big auditorium right here.
Yeah.
And we got it filled up. And amen, just keep on growing.
Amen.
The Bible said, where there's no vision, the people perish.
That's right.
I tell you what, I ain't talking about television either.
Right.
I've already envisioned what God's already doing here. I got a feeling, buddy, that He's going to do a whole lot more of what we've seen done already.
That's right.
That's a blessing. See Miranda, Mark, Caden, Peyton, come up here, give her heart to Jesus. It's a blessing to baptize them.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling there's more to come. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I got a feeling we're going to use that Sunday school class back there.
Yeah.
Hey, don't quench my spirit. I got a feeling, praise God, not in vain, and women that went back there and worked. I got a feeling, buddy, God's going to honor that effort. I got a feeling we're going to fill this place up. I can't wait to see it. I believe it's going to be good, and the hand of the Lord will be the one doing it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Psalm 127, verse 1. Says that, look, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it, labor in vain. I want to see God do it. Amen.
Right.
And if He's all for it, I'm all for it too.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it'd be a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
This world, I wish I could get them saved, Brother Danny. I wish I could convince them of the hour we're living in.
That's right.
Their life's but a vapor. They appear for a little while, then vanisheth away. My granddaughter had two of her friends spend the night with her last night. And one of them got up this morning, and of course she's going to go to church with her grandmother. They got up this morning to go home to get ready for church and wrecked her car on our road.
Mm-hmm.
I told my wife, I said she was probably looking off or texting or something, but it didn't hurt nothing. Just tore the bumper up on the front of her car. But you know, our road is a little curvy, but it's not. I mean, all you got to do is look where you're going. It ain't like you got to know, you know how the bank is, flat road. It's got a couple curves in it. But she evidently was looking off. She evidently was trying to talk and drive like most of them do.
Yeah.
And nobody was hurt. She was able to drive the car home. It's a young girl. That's how quick it can happen.
That's right.
That's right.
That's how quick. You can get a phone call and everything can change just like that.
That's right.
Noah moved And he moved with fear. And like I said, no fear of God in their eyes today. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge today. They don't want nothing to do with God. I'm glad God wants something to do with them.
That's right.
I'm glad he said all the day long, he said, my hands outstretched. All the day long. God don't ever get tired, Brother Mitchell.
No, we don't.
Of holding his hand out and saying, let me help you.
Don't.
Let me show you how much I love you. God stretches out his hand.
Right.
And the Bible says, Sister Joanne, no man regard. They don't care.
That's right.
Father, we thank you for this first Sunday night service. We thank you, Lord, for these that are present. Father, we thank you that it's still daylight outside. And we thank you, Lord, what we felt in our heart, Lord, even here tonight. We thank you for that. I can't even imagine trying to preach without God. I can't even imagine, Lord, trying to enjoy a service without the presence of God. And I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your blessings here. I thank you for these that have come out tonight. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us through this week. Bless us, I pray, till the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I ask everybody to stand real quick. Brother Jerry, Sister Sharon, just one verse of invitation on him. Never know what God's doing. Maybe something in your heart. Maybe something God brought to mind that you want to pray about and need to do. I don't know. I'm just a messenger boy. But if there's something you need to do right now, it's the time to do it. While they're singing a verse of invitation on him.